Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. I am going to love the show that we're doing today. I get to know all your secrets.
Oh, boy. Excuse me. Let me put on my radio voice. Oh, boy. Yes, I'm so excited.
This is Sound Health Options. We're coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. Richard is handling all of the production over there. I'm over here in Ohio. He's in California. And I'm doing everything for WebEx, where you can watch the show. And Richard has some incredibly interesting things that he wants to share. There's chat in both places. And this is especially an audience participation. Well, what is that? With my mouth this morning, participation show, because a lot of this comes from our audience asking questions, because Richard is just this raging, ranting environmentalist in protection of all of us, and people love what he says, but they want more. So we decided to put a show together where we'll bring you Richard and who he is, what he does, where he came from, how we got together. Because he and I kind of share the same idea that we want what's best for everyone. We want a positive earth. We want to treat Mother Nature with respect. So I think Richard is an environmentalist. Would that be how you would describe yourself, Richard?
I think so. I would think that I would call myself an environmental advocate.
Environmental advocate. So you.
I'm pro earth.
Pro earth. Okay. And with that, pro human. And in all that you do, you don't even have a website. So we're going to share other websites that you quote. And
I forget. I actually do have a website. I just never talk about it.
So we don't get to see it.
No, we can see it. I'll put it to you in chat. It's like my handle, and then I want to jump back to something. It's like my handle, which is Talk To Me Guy. That's my, you know, how everybody knows me on air as Talk To Me Guy. Any of the shows that I talk on or do, or even sometimes when I guest on other shows or go someplace and I say, you know, Talk To Me Guy, everybody knows who that is because that's my brand. And that's my, you know, what I do. And so I actually had a website for years that's talktomeguy.com. We just never talk about it.
Oh, should I put it up?
Sure.
Okay, I want to talk about a few things. Talk to me.
While you're typing that, let me say this for everybody that's over at Blog Talk Radio or who's listening, and for those on WebEx. I always like the audio over at Blog Talk Radio because I think the radio feed from there is best, and if you have questions there, also you can go to chat, and you can get there easily by going to soundhealthoptions.com, clicking on the tab at the top that says radio, and then over on the right-hand side you'll see Blog Talk Radio. Click on that, and that'll show you the link to either get to what Sherry is showing, which is the her video feed and chat over there, or it'll give you the information to get to Blog Talk Radio, or it'll show you the phone number, which is 347-850-1407.
And we record everything that we do. It's up on Blog Talk Radio within a half hour or so. It's usually up the next day, depending on how much work Marie has to do and how swamped she is. But everything that we show you over here on Blog Talk Radio and the WebEx, we will put in the window, the chat, so you can look at it immediately, and we'll also list it. So So if you go to our WebEx, if you go to our website, soundhealthoptions.com, and look under radio, and just flop on Blog Talk Radio, it will show you how to listen and watch the show. Sure, before we get started in depth, and I don't want to interrupt anything, but there's, when we try to bring positive things to the world, we sometimes have to bring up negative people and negative things. So yeah, I know you have an announcement today that is close to your heart, and mine too, because we deal with PTSD and try to support the soldiers. So do you want to talk about this announcement? You want to...
Sure. Yeah. There's a bill that's up before Congress. I forget exactly the title of the bill. I think Sherry has the link for us. So it's the Fallen Soldiers Hero, you know, this Veterans Suicide Prevention Bill. And it's really only, I think it's somewhere in the zone of like $22 million. And it's a bill to help funding, you know, psychological and, you know, alternative therapies. Well, alternative means, you know, other kinds of therapies, to prevent suicide prevention, since currently we have about 11 veterans a day committing suicide. So that's before the Congress. And there is this particular congressman, Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, whose nickname, because he's like to be known as Dr. No, and that's because he, in Congress, it only takes one senator to block a bill from passing. They can, you know, however they can object to it, and that's it. It's off the agenda. And so this is his, you know, sort of operating, and in some ways he's done some good things, you know, keeping budgets within control and confined. But he's about to retire, and he's at this moment, as this bill is before Congress, he is considering saying no to this bill just because he wants to go out on a record of, like, I am the man who says no. And I would have to say there's a type of animal that's a kind of a mule. I believe it's referred to as a jackass. And that's all I have to say about Senator Tom Coburn. I find this to be appalling, that just because he wants to be known as, you know, Dr. No, that he's thinking about saying, no, we can't help fund, you know, the prevention of veterans committing suicide. Really? Really?
Why don't they say no to this stupid budget and just keep doing the budget for a few days at a time till we can get some people in there with some sense?
You know? Well, the trick with that would then Senate would actually have to, you know, they're about to go on vacation till after the first of the year. So they'd actually have to work like, you know, regular people.
Wasn't this how Obamacare got passed in the first place? People wanted to go home for Christmas?
Yeah. That always seems to be in play of, you know, like this thing that just happened with derivatives, allowing, you know, basically the banks who got us into a bad situation before are giving carte blanche so that if something happens bad in a bank, we, the taxpayers, are actually held responsible to make sure they get the funding, not the people who actually commit the acts of badness.
Well, in talking about the veterans, one of the things we do with that is PTSD programs. We give away that software. If you want to do a program in your community to help people who have PTSD, get in touch with us and we will absolutely help you put that on. And we're talking about several things that's going on and being hidden in budgets and Obamacare, and we bring all of this to you in a way that we want to say we can help, or we can try to help in putting all this together. And we have something very special coming up on January 10th. We have a class, and I think we're going to concentrate on arthritis and marketing. We may even throw in PTSD here if we have enough time. But it's a one-day class, and it's $50 unless you bring a friend. You can come in free if you bring a friend. And if that friend brings a friend, then they get in free. And that person brings a friend, they get in free. So we want to help you start these bioacoustic community centers. The other one that we're working on you talked about these soldiers, 11 a day or so, trying to commit suicide. We're looking at how these vaccinations that they're forcing on soldiers are really destroying their adrenals and their ability to cope. So we may be turning that around very quickly, too. We're having a hard time getting the CDC and the government to give us the ingredients in the vaccinations that they give to the soldiers. We know they're different and more potent than they give to, you know, kids or normal civilians. But we've got somebody on the inside now, so we think we're going to look at that. I don't know how we're going to hold people responsible in the government, but we're trying to with the leaders, Pelosi and Reid and Obama and Hillary, and they're not doing things the way we want, which is for the benefit of the people. They seem to be doing it the benefit of their pocketbook, which is Richard's favorite saying, follow the money. So as we interview Richard today, you were giving me a message about the second video. This one? The one with the guy with his finger up?
Yeah, no, it's the second. It's the one below that.
This one. Okay.
I'm just letting people know. I'm just letting people know that it's the one where the senator is standing there. There's a video above that. I'm just letting people know that it's the second video on that page that shows him and shows the parents' plea to him to pass the bill for a mere $22 million. In the scale of things, in government spending, $22 million isn't very much considering we spend, I don't know what it is, on war every month.
About $1 trillion, probably. We've spent so many trillions of dollars on this war. We at home are feeling the pinch, but they're trying to tell us, no, that doesn't hurt. And we know better, because here we are experiencing it. He looks kind of pompous and know-it-all, doesn't he?
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
I think so. I'll add the in my opinion.
Oh, okay. So we hope that all of you join us on January 10th for this new bent in trying to help you market yourself. A lot of people take our classes, but they really don't know what to do with it. And so that's going to be the next step for us, trying to put that back together. So, Richard, people requested and you agreed that we could interview you, and then I was trying to remember even how we got together, where we even met, or how long we'd been doing shows together, because I think we make just, if you're not grousing about it, I am, kind of thing. So we each have our things that we want to move towards. So do you remember where we even met?
Well, I think to even go further in the Wayback Machine, I think that many years ago, there was a time when you were in San Francisco area doing a Whole Life Expo, a thing that used to be held. Now it's called the New Living Expo, but it was called the Whole Life Expo. And it was a national show that would show up in various cities. And I think you were in the Bay Area doing an event, because I remember being taken by a friend we have a mutual friend, Rob, and a friend of his took me to this booth and said, you've got to do this, you've got to see this thing, you know, and I remember sitting with a microphone, talking into a microphone, having, you know, charts come up and things and bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors, and I don't remember exactly what. I'm kidding about all that. However, it was, I believe, you doing, you know, probably nano voice or something like that, and going away with a tape of, you know, tones, an actual tape. That's how long ago it was, actual tape. And that's, I think, we originally met, but I don't think we knew each other. You know, we just sort of like did that, and that was that. And then years later, I'm still unclear about it. I guess it's been more than 4 or 5 years. I think I came onto a show and asked a question one time when you were doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. And I asked a question or something, and then maybe we talked, and then I started helping you, you know, backstage and run the dashboard, and the next thing you know, like, you know, Dorothy in the, you know, typhoon. Here we are years later. It's still doing it. I don't remember the time.
But it's just been so comfortable. Even when we were doing Rumor Mill News, and we did that for about 6 months until it just wore us out, or wore me out.
Yeah.
We were doing that for Raylan Allen one day a week. But for that show, it was 3 or 4 hours, and it would take a couple of days to get that show prepared.
And oh, yeah.
It was just too much. We couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Still doing, what, 3 shows a week?
Ish. Yeah.
Sort of like that.
Well, and we also did another show. What was the other show where we did it on Skype? I can't remember what that network was called. That was something different, where we did a Skype show. That was their feed. I can't remember who that company was, but we did, where we had a falling out with them because we did something they didn't like, or I forget it was. They had that complicated chat, and all the engineers were on Skype, and they helped us do it. We did that for about another 4 to 6 months.
Well,
and that was another show that was a couple of hours.
There was another guy named Joe who wouldn't allow us to rant. He decided that everything was going to be his way, and we couldn't talk about certain things, so... We dropped that. Then we did a women's network show for a few months.
Yeah.
It got to be too much. It was taking up too much time. I couldn't get other things done, and you probably couldn't either.
Yeah.
And you volunteer your time here to do this. So it's not like you're making a lot of money. You're doing this as a labor of love because you really want people to know the information.
Yes, that's right. That's how I got into, you know, I mean, part of how I got into, as I say, talking into a microphone, I started doing, somebody invited me on, I'd never done radio before. I was cooking, I was chefing in on the Monterey Peninsula, and somebody I know, a friend of mine, had gotten on doing a radio show on a local radio station on Cannery Row. Excuse me. In an old opium den. That's how old this building was. And, you know, said, oh, come on and, you know, just try this. And this was actually in a regular terrestrial radio station. And so you're sitting in a room, in this case with two other people, facing each other, talking into microphones. So you're actually having conversation. You just happen to be having it on air. And even way back then, what would happen is I unintentionally became a little more dominant on the show. I would bring people in to interview, like Doris Rapp, who's a brilliant MD. I remember way back when, you know, interviewing her then, who wrote a book about This Is Your Child's World, having to do with chemical sensitivities and the reactions. And this was back in the 80s, man. This was like the 80s, like early 80s. And I liked doing it. You know, you would never know it now, but I'm shy by nature. I'm shy in person. However, when I'm talking in a microphone, I'm not. So that's where it all started.
You're growing there.
So that's where it really got started. And then down through the year, you know, then I did some other stuff with people. I've always, let me back up just a little bit. I would say that I've always been a nerd, meaning that even in junior high and high school, I was always the guy in the back of the room who could run all the equipment or figure out how to use the big way back in the way back machine when I was doing video stuff. The first machine we ever had was a 2-inch tape video recorder. And it was a giant thing. I mean, it was huge, enormous. It was a big thing that I was rolling around and like videotaping things for people and doing stuff. So I've always been a nerd by nature. And it just evolved into, that's what gives me the unusual skill set of I can talk in the microphone while I'm still, you know, running the dashboard or adjusting the sound or monitoring everything at the same time. And so I think it's that nerdy background that's always, you know, got me where I am now, I'm not sure where that is, but it's gotten me where I am now. And part of that also is what got me, I think this is where you're going to be leading, is when I got into herbs, again, and that was actually in the 70s, I got my degree as a master herbalist in the late 70s. I can't go any back any further than that. I just have to say late 70s. And that was because I had actually had been in the restaurant business, and I injured my back, and a friend of mine said, oh, why don't we take this massage training, and you can get some work, and maybe you'll get help. And I did, and at the same time, I was taking part of my training because I decided to take anatomy at a naturopathic college that was in Northern California where I was living. And this was dissection anatomy, cadaver anatomy. And because I had already been in the restaurant business, I was quite good with knives. So I was pretty good in anatomy because I knew how to cut things up, having been a chef. And so at the same time, I had already been interested in herbs for my own health and wellness and weight loss and everything. So at the same time, while I was taking my anatomy training, I had the opportunity to get a degree as the herbalist, and that's where I got my degree as an herbalist, is at the Pacific College of Naturopathic Medicine that only existed for about 5 years because then it burned down and they didn't have the funding to rebuild. So it was just an odd vector of events where I had the opportunity, and then shortly thereafter, I moved back to the Monterey Peninsula and had an herb store with the largest selection of botanicals in the western United States and a national mail order catalog. So I used to go to work every day and look at a wall of about 400 herbs. And so that gave me the skill set. You know, when you talk to people every day about herbs all day long, both on the phone and then also in person, that was part of what, you know, developed my, I guess, talking skills. Is there a question in there?
What there is for me, for you. One of the things I was always impressed with you, is we could be talking, you know, after a show or whatever, and I'd bring up a name, and you'd say, oh, yeah, I did a movie with those guys, or, I did a 1,000 set-down dinner for that group. You know, from Ott Lights to fracking to air control to Mother Nature to lumbering and cutting down forests to chefs to movie producers. I mean, what in your background brought you here?
Well, I would say that I have ADHD as a lifestyle. I'm not so much in my personality, but it's just that, you know, I have an interest, and once I get interested in something, I'm on it. The filmmaking and photography started in actually junior high because I was not a particularly good academic because I had what I now know as dyslexia. And it wasn't until I was, that's a whole longer story. I eventually, a retired school teacher went, you have this and I can help you help figure that out. And so I began to be able to, you know, read more effectively. And so I was visual, and so I did a lot of photography, and that photography led to, you know, doing film because it just sort of went together. And so by the time I graduated from high school, I'd already made some short documentaries for the Sierra Club because there was a mountain in our zone that they wanted to mine, the largest mountain in southern United States, Southern California. And so that led to that, and then the cooking was something that I needed. Basically, I grew up in a resort town, and one of the few things that you could, you know, do as a job was be in the restaurant business. So it started out as being a busboy and then becoming a waiter and a food server, and then somebody said, oh, why don't you go talk to this guy about getting a job? And the next thing you know, I was in the kitchen peeling a 100-pound bag of potatoes with a knife. And so those skills have all just stayed with me. And the chefing thing has been something that I've done on and off because I can only do it for about 4 years before I'm, like, fried. And then I go off and do something else. And then part of the... Go ahead.
You're always at all of these shows, and there's hardly any name that I can mention that you haven't talked to them, done a show for them, been on the radio with them. It's like you have this ton of people around you that you interact with for the good of Mother Nature.
Yes. Yeah, that is the driving force, is that I really... Well, the two driving forces is that I'm endlessly inquisitive and I'm a researcher by nature. I always want to figure things out. And not so much like structurally. I'm not one of those kids that's like, I can take apart a clock and put it back together. I mean, I can take it apart. I can't put it back together. But otherwise, I'm always interested in how things, you know, work, how they go. And part of what I did was I did those whole life expos, those kinds of shows, for about 3 years on the road. We traveled from Southern California, from about San Diego, which is just above Mexico, to Seattle, so Washington State, to Denver. And so we traveled for 3 years full-time doing shows. And because of that, I had a lot of exposure. As you know, when you used to do shows, you meet a lot of people. And so that's how, you know, I had the privilege. It was hard work, but it was a privilege to be able to go to these shows and interact with these people in a way that you wouldn't get to just by, you know, well, that was before the Internet, kind of. I mean, the Internet was backslash pointy thing back then. And so I had the, you know, part of that was having this exposure to all these people. Like you said, I was selling full spectrum lighting, so that's where the John Ott research came from. He was the founder of, you know, inventing full spectrum lighting, that he actually had. He did it because he wanted to photograph plants in studio control, and so he had to invent a light that the plants would actually react to, so he invented full spectrum lighting, and it had huge positive benefits. And so we did that and traveled all around. So it was all about a combination of products that we were selling and being exposed to all these people at shows. And that's why I still go to shows today, because it's an amazing place to do research and actually interact with a lot of the people that I stay in contact with today.
Well, I've collected over the years as we've been doing shows, and people ask me things about you after the show. So I've collected probably 10 or 20 questions here that have come up. So you ready for some questions?
Sure.
Here is a two-part question, actually. Can food be considered medicinal, and are herbs different for medicinal purposes versus herbs for cooking, or can they be combined?
They can be combined in many cultures, particularly in the Pacific Rim, like, well, Chinese, I'll talk about Chinese medicine. In Chinese medicine, that would be the first thing you would do, is you would go probably to, if you had something going on, you'd probably talk to an herbalist / possible acupuncturist. And then they would tell you to go, here's this, you know, bags of roots and bugs and things that you'd go home and cook into a tea. That's called a decoction, where you actually put it in a pot and cook it down, kind of like a soup, but it's a reduction of the herbs that you have to cook. And so you can either make a tea out of them, and or they would also suggest herbs that you would put into your foods. So you'd be using the herbs as part of your daily lifestyle. I would give a great example of that, and this time of year is a great time for this, although you could take this year round. There's an herb called astragalus, which is a root. And typically when you get it in its more whole form, it'll look kind of like a tongue depressor because it's a long root, and they slice it and dry it. Now you can make a tea out of it and drink it directly. It has a sort of a slightly what I would call a soft, mildly sweet flavor to it. So you could take a stick of astragalus and put it in, you know, simmer it in a cup of water for, you know, it wants to be simmered for probably 45 minutes to an hour, covered at a slow rate. And you could drink that every day. Great immune system boosting, really a nice chi builder or energy builder, not a false stimulant. It's not going to overstimulate the system. It's more of a actually giving the body energy by making things more effective in the system, like the kidneys and the bladder and the liver. And it's also really great. It's also really great for what we might call older people in terms of boosting their immune systems in a soft way. Now, you can also take that same stick or tongue depressor, and you could add one or two of those to anything that you're going to stew for a long time. Like, it's the perfect herb to add to a crock pot, because it's going to stew all day with the food that you're going to eat, and it's not going to be a flavor that you're going to really notice in any kind of soup or stew or beans or anything you're going to simmer for a period of time. And you can, it's a, you know, you wouldn't necessarily eat it, not because it's bad for you, but just because it's woody and kind of like, really, that's what's that? It's not something you want to eat, but you want the benefit of cooking with it.
Like a toothpick, maybe.
Kind of, a big toothpick. You could also, I'll also just toss in that you could also do the same with something like burdock root, which is a wonderful blood purifier, great for the skin, great for the kidneys. Really, burdock is a great food in the sense of like astragalus. Although burdock root is something you can actually peel and cook and eat, it's kind of like a cross between a parsnip and a carrot.
Okay, I'm typing some of this in the chat. People would like to know how to spell astragalus.
A-S-T-R-A-G-U-L-A-S.
Okay, I totally butchered it. A-S-T-R-A-G-A-L-U-S.
And that's a single herb. That's not a formula or anything. That's just a single herb.
Do you have a place where you think people could get good herbs? Some of these
things
like the blood cleanser?
Yeah, I'll put some notes in chat. Let me jump slightly sideways for a moment and say I'm a big fan. I mean, I am a fan of all of these herbs, and I can talk about any number of herbs for a long period of time. I'm a big fan of formulations, meaning herbal combinations. For instance, there's a company that I like very much that make bitters. And bitters have kind of a bad rap because they're bitter. And people are like, ew, I can almost guarantee that if I give somebody a tincture or a bitter, that their face is going to scrunch up the first time they taste it. Because it hits your palate, and it's bitter by nature. That's the function of a bitter. But a bitter is beneficial to the liver. It's beneficial to the kidneys. It's beneficial to the gut for digestion. It helps set everything up. to really aid the body in digesting fats. It's good for the mucosa, lining of the gut. You know, bitters are kind of they come and go in terms of their popularity. And there's this particular company, Urban Moonshine, I'll put this link in chat, who make this wonderful, wonderful line of herbs in tincture form, slightly unusual, in her formulations, Jovial King, this is one of these people that I've met at a show and become friends down through the years, a great herbalist, which makes these really wonderful formulas. And one of the handy things that she does with some of her formulas is she puts them in a spray bottle so that you can take them with you everywhere easily and just put a boosh into your mouth before you eat, a few minutes before you eat. Stimulates the salivary glands in your mouth, gets the digestive system kind of up and rolling, and particularly people who have upset stomach or bothered stomachs or, you know, sort of like, ooh, kind of feel that way after they eat. Bitters are really a tonic. Herbally, a tonic means long-term beneficial effect. It'll give you some immediate positive effect, and in the long term, it'll give you a very good positive effect. So for me, that's one of the reasons I like formulas, because you have an herbalist who sat down and thought about how you're going to put these herbs together and how they're going to relate to each other, because there's more power in it. To me, there's more power in a well-formulated or synergistic relationship of the herbs put together. And that's one of the things that Jovial does at Urban Moonshine, is puts together very nice formulas in a convenient way. You can either travel with them with a spray bottle or a little dropper bottle or a big bottle for at home. I drink bitters most every day because I just think it's really beneficial to the digestive system. I have my disclaimer here. Well, it's not really a disclaimer. I don't have any affiliates, no affiliate links, or I have no monetary relationships with any of the people I talk about. I just talk about them because I love their products.
Three questions came in from chat. I'll sort of put them together. How do you make bitters? And can you put things together that are really something you could poison yourself with? What is the best bitter? And is there an overall herb or bitter that you would recommend? How do you make bitters? Can you go buy it?
You can make bitters. You can make bitters. Well, this will jump slightly sideways then. Yes, you can make your own bitters. Bitters are, for the most part, meaning a tincture or an alcohol extract. There are various ways that you extract the essence of an herb out. In the case of most bitters, they're oftentimes roots, just because they are. I can't tell you why that is. I don't know the chemistry. I just know that that's the truth. And you typically, what you do with a tincture is that you put particular quantities. This is not magic. I'm not, like, withholding. I just can't think of the actual numbers. A ratio of herbs, a formula that you put together, into alcohol and let it macerate or soak for about 2 weeks. And, you know, once a day you go over and talk to it and, you know, move it around just to keep it sort of, like, disturbed. And the quality of those roots will then be distilled or be released into the alcohol. And at that time, after 2 weeks, you then strain it, and then you have your tincture. The great thing about tinctures is that they have almost an endless shelf life if they're kept cool and out of sunlight. Not like in a, I mean, it doesn't have to be dark cabinets, just to keep them, you know, from being exposed and oxidizing. And then you take a particular dose, you know, like a tincture, for example, I use Urban Moonshine's original formula bitters because I like the flavor and just the general action. She has a variety of flavors, and that's one of the things that's smart about what she's done is she's made like a cinnamon-flavored bitter or a mint-flavored bitter, or she's adding that essence to the flavor profile so that it's more palatable, more, you know, approachable for you. So you choose what kind of flavor you're looking for, and then you take it every day. Now, you can make your own, and so that's really all there is to actually making a tincture. You can do that with any herb. If you're going to make your own tinctures and you want to get into that, then I would suggest a book like The Way of Herbs. And did I give you that link, Sherry, for The Way of Herbs by Michael Tierra? I think I did.
Yeah, I did.
And then I would suggest, if you are interested in getting into making your own tinctures, which are not hard, once you get in sort of in the habit of doing it, it's not a difficult thing to do, then I would get a book of like The Way of Herbs. And when I did have the herb store, Michael was in Santa Cruz, and we used to sort of fight over formulations. Not because each, as an herbalist, you have a style. I don't know how. There are. We agree upon the action of many herbs, but we have a different lean. Like we like this herb or that herb, or so we have things that we do, and we used to argue over what he was doing in Santa Cruz. And because he's an acupuncturist and a licensed oriental medical doctor, he has a lean toward Asian or Chinese medicine. That doesn't mean that he doesn't also practice American herbalism. It just means that he has a lean toward that. But his book gives really good information on not only herbs, but also formulations. He actually gives you formulas where you can make your own, you know, all sorts of things, from poultices for a wound or an injury or salves or tinctures. So if you're interested in making tinctures, then I would get a book like that. I like his book for, you know, it's approachable, it gives you good information. And there are other books, you know, like there's also Dr. Christopher's book called The School of Natural Healing, but it's more of a hardcore reference because Christopher's book, Christopher is dead now, is 650 pages. And it is kind of, he was one of the fathers of certain American herbal formulations. There are a lot of companies, like there's a company out of Utah called Nature's Sunshine, and there are a number of them, Nature's Way, Nature's Sunshine, and a couple of others, that have all kind of come out of the Dr. Christopher school of thinking. So if you want to get really hardcore, not that it's more difficult, it's just that it's a tome of a book. Good, great information, lots of, you know, boy, formulas for days. So if you really want to get into it seriously, then Dr. Christopher's book is a great book. I think that the Tierra book is a more approachable, you know, great way to get started. And if you find that you love it and you want to know more, try and find a used copy of School of Natural Healing, because I don't think they print it anymore.
Well, these ones from Urban Moonshine, I love that name. They're very reasonable in their pricing.
Yes, yeah. And they're back in your neck of the woods, was compared to being near California, there in Vermont. I'm actually trying to get her to come onto a show, but she's been so busy. At the last show I saw her at, she's just like running hard and fast. But I'm trying to get her to come on a show and talk about bitters.
Well, if there's people can make this themselves, are there things they could put together to cause a problem?
Well, if you're an educated herbalist, meaning that if you've learned and studied, I don't mean you have to be a degreed or a thing, but you have to kind of, you know, do your own due diligence and research people's formulas. The people that I'm talking about, I know, A, and B, they're recognized people producing products. Absolutely, there are herbs that can kill you. There are herbs that can cause your spine muscles to contract. There are herbs that can, you know, let me put it this way. In the 80s, I don't believe it's gone much different. There's a book still to this day called The Pharmacopoeia. The Pharmacopoeia was the book that pharmacists in the old days, even older than me, like in the early days, pharmacists would have to compound a product because they didn't have it on the shelf. You know, you didn't have like a guy or a woman in a suit coming in with a briefcase full of samples to give you. You actually were a formulator or a compound. That's where the phrase compounding, you know, pharmacist comes from. That's come back into being popular because pharmacists actually had to know how to make things. And the reference book is called The Pharmacopoeia. And 70% of those formulas were originated in herbs. So in the old days, with a mortar and pestle, pharmacists had to actually make things, compounds. Go ahead.
Well, that just brings up more questions. So as soon as you're finished what you're saying.
Well, and for example, here's a great example. So the herb valerian, which is a nerve tonic, beneficial to the myelin sheath, actually neutralizes the myelin sheath, and it's a relaxant, is the herb that was the point of origin of valerian. I mean, of Valium, of the benzodiazepam foundational, you know, start Valium. So they extracted, somebody figured out how to extract out a particular substance out of valerian that was the foundation of Valium today. Now, when you take Valium, which is the benzodiazepam family, it can be addictive. All it does is knock you out or, you know, make you relaxed, but it has no benefit. It has no effect. Whereas if you take valerian, it won't knock you out as much. It will relax you on a long-term basis, particularly this time of year because it's the holidays and we're getting together with people we don't see very often and there's usually tension. Maybe that's just me. I highly recommend valerian because it's a nerve tonic. You take it a couple times a day. You may notice a slight reduction in stress. You may notice that you feel a little more relaxed. And the only other effect is that it's nutrifying your nervous system. So it's a whole food actually giving nutrition to the nerves. Whereas what they did in the old days when they discovered they could make Valium and then they turned Valium into a synthetic, it's just they've taken out the positive aspects in terms of relaxation, but it's doing no nutrification.
And we've got all kinds of questions coming in here. I don't know where you want to start. Should they go to the woods and get their herbs? Is there a store that you recommend? Should they grow their own? And if so, how do you grow herbs? Where do you start? What's the easiest ones to start with?
Wow, I'm looking at some of the questions in chat. I don't think we have that much time. If you can grow your own, it's phenomenal, because then it just is phenomenal. It's not magic. I mean, you're just growing plants. I mean, it's, you know, and a lot of the herbs are kind of tough. The tricky part is that when you get into some of the tonics, like I don't even know what kind of climate astragalus requires to grow in. Ginseng takes a long time to grow. Ginseng is a very good long-term beneficial effect, lots of history tonic. There are a variety of different kinds of ginsengs. Siberian ginseng is a little softer, a little easier to take. Women tend to take an herb called Dong Quai, which is angelica root. Again, a little harder to grow. But, you know, women take angelica or Dong Quai, men take ginseng. You can switch back and forth, but that's just sort of historically what happens. And they take a long time to grow. It just so happens that Wisconsin produces more ginseng than any other place in the world. I don't know why. And for decades, it was mostly exported, not used in the United States. Now it's become more popular. So you can grow your own, and there are herbs like basil or chamomile or feverfew or those kinds of things that you can use both as teas or in the culinary realms that you can grow yourself because they're seasonal. But I prefer to find an herbalist or somebody I know that reliably grows them and get them from them and produce my own product. Or at this point, because of time constraints, I know the people at Urban Moonshine and I get my bitters from Urban Moonshine. You know, finding a grower like Green Mountain or somebody else mentioned somebody else in chat. Or, you know, another resource, I'll throw this out because I can't believe we're running out of time. Or you establish a relationship with somebody like, and I don't think I gave this link to you, Sherry. I'll give this link to you. There's a company called Herbal Products and Development. Now, my disclaimer here is that Paul Galon, the founder of this company, is a friend of mine. And I used to sell his formulations, and the only reason I do not anymore is because I just don't have the time to do that. Not because we had a falling out or anything bad happened. Great resource, not only for a great value in products. I just gave you a link, Sherry, for, oh, thank you, HerbProd, for the Liver Restore formula. And if I was going to be a proponent of one organ in the body that we really want to be kind to, meaning take care of and, you know, support as much as possible, that would be the liver. Very close to, I guess really we have to take care of the gut first and then the liver, but I just see them always kind of as hand in hand. They work so well together. So we want to make sure that the bowels are moving on a regular basis at ease. Which then you get into a product like, so since you're showing the page of Herbal Products and Development, Paul makes a full line also of chocolate nutraceuticals. And what that means is that he's taking organic, all of his products are either wildcrafted or organic. And so he takes many of those and puts them into chocolates so that you have a chocolate, a cacao that he gets. And then he formulates that, often used with coconut butter, so you have a good fat. And into that, he puts herbs, so that you're eating a very, I mean, it's not like a Godiva chocolate, or for those that are old school, See's candy chocolate. It's not that kind of chocolate. It's a little firmer to texture, because it's not, doesn't have anything in it that's going to make you melt in your hand. But it's a nutraceutical, and that's a new thing that's happening more and more, speaking of foods, is that it's, you get your action from the herbs by eating it as a food. It just happens to be in chocolate, which is fabulous because chocolate produces serotonin and you feel better. And plus, it tastes good, for goodness sakes. What's not to like? It's chocolate. So he has that. Go ahead.
That's just awesome. My mouth's watering.
Yeah. They're great. They're great. The chocolates are really brilliant. But Paul has a great line of, you know, you can get bulk products from him. He's a reliable, credible person who I, again, back to, you know, I've known him for a long time, and I know him to be a credible person. So if I was going to get herbs from him, he would be somebody I would go and say, you know, hey, Paul, I need a pound of maca. Can we do that? Or can I get this or can I get that? And at the same time, he also has a line of, you know, things like the Liver Restore, or he also has in the line of the Lee to Lee way of thinking with enzymes, he also has a line of great plant-derived enzymes, meaning, you know, like the proteolytics, which is the protein-eating anti-inflammatory formulas with serrapeptase, or he also has an anti-inflammatory formula in capsule or powder form. He also has a great line of probiotics and prebiotics. Prebiotics are the foods that we want, the herbs that we want, or the nutritives that we want in our gut. Pre-probiotics, so that it causes, it aids the action of the probiotics to be able to grow in a healthy way.
There are people asking, several different people asking, can you give us some general herbs for just health, immune health, anti-aging? Is there a book that you would recommend where they could go find these recipes?
Well, I would, the book I would, I think the a great starting place book, as I say, is The Way of Herbs by Michael Tierra. And I think I gave that link to you.
Yes, we have it.
Okay. And I think that's a great place to start, because he has good information about specific herbs that you can go and look up. He has, I'm grabbing my copy so I can flip through it. He has a good index of, you know, you can go and read about individual herbs, and then you can go into sections where he'll talk about formulas that you want to put together, and then talks about the action and the why you want to put those formulas together. So it's a great resource. Which you can still, doesn't mean you can't go out and drink tea. It's just that tea is not the most effective delivery system. I mean, it's not, it's a fine delivery system, but you want to be starting out with good herbs. It's just that it's hard, unless you're a really hardcore tea drinker, it's hard to get enough in the system in a concentrated way to have long-term positive effect. Not, it won't have an anti-effect, it just is hard to get enough in to really give you a dose to be, you know, effective.
People are asking, too, if Ayurvedic herbs are more potent, and should they go there?
They're just different. They're not, there isn't, I know that this kind of happens. I've seen this down through the years. I've trained mostly in American herbs, but I know quite a bit about Chinese herbs, partially from Tierra's influence. And, you know, they all suddenly, you know, suddenly like, oh, Ayurvedic medicine is like, oh my God, it's magical. You know, yes, they've been doing it for thousands of years. Absolutely. It's just different. It's herbs from their country that they're using that are beneficial. It's not unlike, you know, herbs from this country that are, you know, like we have still, I think the United States still has more ginseng. It's still just that, it, as I say, it gets mostly exported. And well, let me jump sideways for a minute again and talk about people who are looking for long-term beneficial effects. The ginseng family, the Siberian ginseng or American ginseng, or there are various ways that ginseng has been treated. It's a long-term beneficial effect. Ginseng is something that you take every day or, you know, multiple times a week that helps create homeostasis in the system. It's somewhat adaptogenic, and then an adaptogen means that if something is high in your system, it helps it bring it down, and if it's low, it helps bring it up. So it's making the body strive for, or assisting the body in striving for homeostasis or balance. And so ginsengs are good. Siberian ginseng is a little less. Some people find that American ginseng is a little too aggressive or assertive. And so in that case, I would suggest something like Siberian ginseng, which is a little softer in its action. Still the same idea, but it's a softer action. And for women, long-term tonic, as I say, would be the Dong Quai, and that's Dongquai, or Angelica root. And actually the Siberian ginseng was originally Russian. And most ginsengs have huge amounts of information coming out of China or Japan, where they've been taking ginsengs forever. And same with the Dong Quai. Again, for women, Dong Quai is a long-term tonic, help balances out hormone imbalances, it's just there's nothing but good long-term beneficial effect from taking those kinds of herbs.
Someone is asking, is there anything to the idea that herbs grown in your own area better support your immune system?
There is a gentleman whose name escapes me at the moment who has a theory that he's proven, and I know he's written books, and when I find his name, I'll try and locate him, and maybe we'll try and do a show with him, that if you go out in your garden and look at the herbs growing around you, those are the herbs that you seem to, your body wants or desires or needs, or they kind of appear. And it's not a mystical thing, it just seems to be a thing, a truth. Like, I bet, well, you already have snow back there, so maybe not. However, you could go out in the yard and, you know, pick dandelion. And I think we've talked about this in the past, that probably sometime in the, like, spring, your grandmother or your mother, I can't remember who, probably made some sort of, you know, thing where they'd go out and get dandelion and some other roots and they'd make a tea or they'd do something. Eventually that slider will, there we go, the images. I'm watching my website on your WebEx feed. That you'd make a tea out of the root of dandelion. And that's, in my thinking and in other thinkers, that's true. The combination of the dandelion, these are all roots, dandelion root, yellow dock root, and burdock root, you make as a tea. And you could make a pot and, you know, drink just a cup a day. Excellent blood purifier, gets stuff out of the blood, bad things. Good mineral content, so you're getting, you know, good mineral action. And actually, that particular formula is great for the skin. If you have any kind of skin issue, that really helps tone and clean up the skin. Beneficial to the kidneys, helps soothe them if they're inflamed, which oftentimes they are, especially if you have adrenal stress, because the adrenals ride on top of the kidneys, literally like jockeys on a horse. So they have quite an intimate relationship. And, you know, good blood purifier, nothing but good. Now, in some place like Louisiana, and some other parts in the South, they take dandelion root and chicory root, which is also a bitter tonic. Not as much, burdock is more of a blood purifier, whereas chicory is more of a bitter tonic. And they take those roots and chop them up into pieces, and they roast them in a pan until they have a slight amount of color, and then they grind that and they make that into a coffee-like beverage. Whereas if you really like the flavor of coffee, you can actually make that and throw a splash of coffee and a splash of cream in there and have a very kind of close coffee substitute. So there's lots of ways that herbs can be consumed. Go ahead.
Two questions we've got to get in. One question from the chat is, and we're talking about, is raw dandelion root better than roasted dandelion root tea? Does the roasting damage or destroy the beneficial chemical?
That is such an old, that's a great question. That is such an old school argument. I like dandelion root as a dried or fresh herb, and I'm not a fan because of that possibility of heating it would cause some of the vital oils to evaporate, because that's part of the action of the herbs. Is there vital oils that are in there? I mean, the other compounds that are in the herbs. But so I think it's a beneficial thing to roast the dandelion and the chicory, because you're going to get some positive benefit out of doing that if you're going to take it, you know, on a regular basis. Part of the trick with herbs, and this is true as everybody here who is either a Bara or a sound health enthusiast or any health kind of practitioner, it's all about compliance. You can come up with the most amazing formula, and this was one of the things that used to frustrate me incredibly being in an herb store, is I'd put together these great formulas for people, and they'd come back in 2 weeks and said, well, yeah, I took it 3 or 4 times. I didn't like the way it tasted. I didn't this, I didn't that, something. It was so much work, blah, 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 blah. So you have to come up with a compliant form that people want to actually use. So tinctures are easy, or sprays, because you can also drop a tincture in a glass of hot water and take it as a tea. All that will happen is the alcohol will evaporate off and you still have the essence of the herb. although you may lose some of the essential oils, so you want to kind of inhale it when you put that drop in there.
We're going to go over, Richard, is that okay with you?
Sure.
Because there are two questions that have to be answered.
Okay. Let me finish that thought about that. Oh, so you can take it as a tincture, you can take it as a capsule, you can take it as a powder, you can take it as a tablet. Tablets like the company Eclectic Institute, and I know I gave you some links for that as well, Sherry. Eclectic makes these really great, not only great formulas, because the founder of that, Ed Alstadt, who again, back to me doing shows, I've spent a lot of time talking to Ed at shows. I believe he's a naturopathic doctor by training, by foundation. Started a company where he harvests herbs, wild-grafted or organic. They are brought into the production facility. They are juiced, and then that juice is flash frozen. And then that frozen juice is dehydrated, so that what you have is the most amazing, concentrated, clean, highly active, because it's just been captured at that moment of harvest and flash frozen. So it's been, you know, like locked and loaded and then put into capsules or tablets. And he actually makes a formula that I like very much called Vital Lipotropics, which is a liver formula. Also, they make another formula that's a combination of OSHA, O-S-H-A, and Lomatium, which is a great drop in tincture form this time of year for people who are, you know, thinking about getting sick or feel like that something's coming on. You start dosing heavily on that right out of the gate, and 9 times out of 10, it stops it.
Well, the two questions that we have to answer, do you consider marijuana an herb, and what is its healing properties? And the other right along with it is, what are some of the substitutes for medications by way of herbs?
Ooh, the last one's tricky, Gray Waters. I'll be disclaiming and in my opinioning all over the place. The first one, cannabis, the cannabis family is an herb. I know it's got all this, you know, 1970s Woodstock radical stuff around it, but I mean, it's been used not only in ritual, but also as a medicinal for a long time. So cannabis, in terms of cannabis, is the whole family, combination of marijuana, and also now years later, the research on CBDs, cannabidiols, and the benefit of particular strains of cannabis that are lower in THC, tetrahydro something or other. Steve, I bet, will be able to type that into chat. I'm not saying anything about Steve. I just think he would have that possibly. That less THC, higher CBDs, the cannabidiols are anti-inflammatories, boosting the immune system, anti-cancer, anti-tumor, been doing some miraculous results with, you know, autistic kids using CBDs as an anti-inflammatory and, you know, immune boosting. So it has a lot of, you know, particularly in the CBD world, lots of really brilliant research is being done. And I think we did a show, or I did a show here on Blog Talk Radio with Martin Lee talking about cannabis and particularly CBDs, and also Andrea Herman here on Blog Talk Radio on this show, talking to her about hemp and the benefits of hemp in terms of a product which is also in the cannabis family, very low THC, very tiny, tiny, infinitesimal amount of THC, but a phenomenal product. Back to my, you know, original rant about the earth, you know, Andrew Jackson, a president, like, grew hemp. Hemp fiber was what was used on ships for rope because it's so tough and durable and antimicrobial and antifungal. And it used to be used for clothing, and it was used for paper. The original Constitution, I almost went on a rant about that, a Constitution that we seem to be ignoring these days in certain sectors of government, was written on paper that was made partially out of hemp. Hopefully that will resurge eventually here in the United States. It's slowly in a few states becoming legal. And then to the mother load, back to marijuana, what is typically called marijuana, which is the THC-based plant, can be used as a medicinal also. It's been used quite a bit with people for, specifically for cancer. I worked with some companies working on formulations made into candies for cancer patients so they could dose themselves to reduce the pain, the ability to reduce their opiate load or, you know, any of those, anything in the opium family or opiates. See, opiates now were originally from opium, the plant, a lovely little poppy that when you are growing it, although you can't grow it legally in the United States, although it grows in people's gardens and they just don't know what they are, and you extract that juice, that's where opiates originally came from. Now it's produced as other medical products, not as a whole food, but just as something that, you know, like knocks you out, like Vicodin is an opiate. So Vicodin has none of the benefit of the whole food derived from opium, and yet, you know, it's Vicodin. Well, I had a couple of years ago, I was sick, and I had over 30 hours of surgery, and I was in a facility for almost a year while I was in recovery. They would give you opiate. They would give you Vicodin like an M&M. You know, if you had a thing, they'd give you, you know, a Vicodin. So that leads, I guess, into the substitute for. I would advocate for, or in my opinion, I do not prescribe or recommend, that something like marijuana for pain reduction in a controlled way is really an amazing thing. When I was working with cancer people, or working with companies that were working more directly, we were putting together formulas so that they could, we came up with a sucker or a caramel, and it was had a variety of kinds of cannabis in them, high THC cannabises, and they'd be able to dose themselves, reducing their pain, reducing their anxiety, having no really bad side effects, or other effects, actually, is how I'd put that, other than they might sleep and be slightly more at ease without putting more of a toxic load on their system of all the drugs that are being pumped into their body to try and do that. And they'd also have appetite, which when you're getting chemo is incredibly hard to have appetite because you feel like, I don't think I can say that, bad, unbelievably bad.
Crap's
so to see somebody, pardon?
Crap's a good word.
There we go, there we are, we're flinging it around. That, you know, so to be able to have a substance that you can actually, you know, lick and use and control your own dose is an amazing thing. So, yeah, marijuana is a positive thing. Yes, it has a lot of spin to it and a lot of like, oh, scary drugs, ooh, gateway. Yeah, you know, so is cheese pizza. So is Coca-Cola.
We are planning a show with a woman who was put in jail here in Ohio for growing 3 medicinal marijuana plants, and she got 3 to 5 years for growing 3 plants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody here did a murder and got 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's wonky. The whole marijuana cannabis issue is so wonky because it's state by state. You know, now they just approved it to be legal in D.C., in Washington, D.C. Maybe they'll improve how our government runs. I hope so. Anything. But, you know, it's state by state, so the feds can still come in, and I know people in the Santa Cruz Mountains who have been busted for growing marijuana because the feds, I don't know what decide. They have to justify the equipment they have. I don't know. They come in and, you know, full SWAT outfits with guns and, you know, things. So it's a tricky thing. You know, state by state, you can do it legally, but boy, it, just like you said, in your state, evidently it's not legal because this woman's going to go to jail for 3 years. For what? Growing an herb.
Steve says we should probably print currency on hemp paper and make it more valuable. There are dozens of more questions that have come in. I will save them all. We will build some shows around them. I think a really interesting show. This woman was telling us what was happening to her in jail. And just one of the gross things that she talked about is everybody's underwear is put in the same washer and you get a pair back, but it may not be yours. Just gross things like that.
Ew.
Yeah. But, I mean, it got weirder. But we're going to have her on the show, maybe 2 people. that have been in jail. We've got to talk about these herbs more. So maybe we should just do a course about our whole herb software and have you help us teach that, Richard, because I certainly don't know much about it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, because I have, you know, I'd sort of thought, you know, like I had specific, as I say, I'm an advocate of formulations. I'm not anti-single herb, for example, and then I know we have to wrap up pretty soon. During this time of year, I would advocate for two single herbs this time of year. Valerian, because of the benefit to the nervous system, to help reduce the stress, the anxiety. And that's just sort of the gestalt of not only the planet, but, you know, this time of year, there's just everybody's go, 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 run, run, run. And valerian just will be beneficial. It's not going to hurt you. I mean, you can overdose, but, man, you'd have to take a lot. So valerian, now I have to advocate for three herbs. Valerian, ginger root, beneficial to the digestive system, since this is the time of year when we tend to eat to possible excess, which I can't say I'm opposed to. Ginger is soothing to the digestive system. It's warming to the digestive system in a good, gentle way. It's also a wonderful anti-inflammatory, and you can cook with it. You can eat candied ginger if you don't mind a little bit of sugar. You can use it as a tincture and throw a drop into a tea and have a nice warming, particularly for those of you that are in the colder part of the country. You Floridians, I have nothing to say to you. You can have, you know, ginger tincture with you and put a shot, in a, you know, a squirt into a hot cup of water and have a warming tea in seconds. You can also chop up fresh ginger root and just make it into a tea that way or make your own tincture. And then the last one would be, really, I guess it would be echinacea. Echinacea, echinacea, and the typical one is angustifolia, is an herb which you can get in capsules, in tincture, in all sorts of forms. And echinacea is a great, when you're feeling sick, it's more of an immediate, it's different than the OSHA and Lomatium formulation in that echinacea is a blood purifier. It's something when I feel like anything is going to, you know, like I've been exposed, even I can take it as a preventative. It's not something you take every day, not in my mind. Every day is a tonic. It's something that when I feel something's thinking about happening or going to be happening or I've been exposed, I take echinacea probably 3 to 5 times in a day. Lots of water, but, you know, take a pretty good dose for, you know, whatever the term, until you feel better, and then stop and put it back on the shelf and have it when you need it again. There are some people who believe it is a tonic. I do not, not because it's hazardous, just because I do not. I think it's something that you want to have for when you need it, use it, and then put it on the shelf until you want it again.
Richard, this has been absolutely great. We're going to do more because people were asking about natural remedies, herb remedies for this and herb remedies for that. So I looked up a book here on Amazon, Natural Remedies for Inflammation. That's as close as I got, but I'm sure with millions of books on Amazon, they could find one. And if you have recommendations.
Well, that's funny because that's the guy that we interviewed. That's from Vessi, who we interviewed last week.
Yes. And then the
I would still put up, if you can, put up the link for the Way of Herbs. Because currently that would still be my, I mean, there are lots of books that I like to read that are deeper and further in depth. And I'm not saying others can't read them as well. It's just that you want to have kind of a good foundation. And I think Tierra's book is a great, he gives you a lot of information, but it's also very approachable. If you wanted to go and read about Siberian ginseng, you could flip to his index and he would tell you about Siberian ginseng. If you wanted to know how to make a tea, he has, you know, recipes in there for that. He has recipes in there for tinctures. It's a very approachable, well-written book.
And look at this. They offer it on a free Kindle reading app. I've never done that before, but that seems...
Yeah, I forget that his book is in Kindle format now, which is amazing because I have an old dog-eared, worn-out little pocketback. In the early days, his first editions were little pocketbook sizes.
this is absolutely great. We can go back to Mother Nature to help us.
Nature is good. Nature knows what she's doing. We need to pay attention.
Absolutely. And we need to provide more information to our listeners about herbs, because that's all where we want to go, is this idea of self-health. Now, we use computers and all that to do our stuff, but if people, we could teach them to listen to the sound in their ears, that's a sound that the body creates to heal itself. So we should do a show on that. And please remember, January 10th, come to our our project about helping you set up a bioacoustic center in your area, in your community. We are expanding in all kinds of directions this year about getting the apps up on your phone and your iPad. I want to now go more into herbs, but the course is $50 for the day, but bring a new friend and you can come for free. It can't get any better than that. It's good to introduce your friend to this, and then it's wonderful to get in for free. Richard, thank you so much for being on the spot today. I know that's not your nature to want to come out of your herb closet this way.
Well, yeah, as you see, once you get me going, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm so used to being on the side of the microphone where I'm the one asking the questions, but as you saw, I can obviously rattle on about it happily once I get going.
You did great. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all your questions. We love our audience. The best show ever today, Susan said. Thank you, Richard. All right.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody. You guys had some amazing questions in there, but that's like a whole nother show to answer some of those questions. Wow.
Yeah, and there's probably half a dozen left.
Yeah.
Okay, next time.
Thanks, everybody. See you Tuesday.
I don't have the slightest idea what we're going to talk about.
I don't either.
Okay.